fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the holy is understanding. Join us now for the Bible Institute of the Air. Welcome to another broadcast of the Bible Institute of the Air, coming to you from Bob Jones University in Greenville, South Carolina. Today we present another in our continuing series of studies from the book of Proverbs. Our teacher today is Mr. Jesse Boyd, who until the time he went to be with his Lord, served as a member of the Bible faculty at Bob Jones University.
Turn in your Bibles, please, to the book of Proverbs, chapter 3. That is Proverbs chapter 3, and we're going to look at verse 13 and a few verses that follow today in our second consideration of the evidences of wisdom's enviable heritage. Let me again remind you of the fact that Proverbs 3 unfolds for us the excellence of wisdom. In this chapter, there's a fourfold revelation of the statement of our Lord Jesus Christ, who said, "Wisdom is justified of all her children." You recall that in Luke chapter 7 and verses 33 to 35, the Lord Jesus, in speaking to the Pharisees and lawyers, said, "John the Baptist came neither eating bread nor drinking wine, and ye say, he hath a devil. The Son of Man is come eating and drinking, and ye say, behold, a gluttonous man and a winebibber, a friend of publicans and sinners. But wisdom is justified of all her children." Now, in the book of Proverbs, chapter 4 and verse 7, the writer says, "Wisdom is the principal thing, therefore get wisdom, and with all thy getting, get understanding." Wisdom is the application of knowledge. Wisdom is the ability to use knowledge to one's best interests. Understanding is the apprehension of the true meaning or true significance of facts. Now, one may gain much knowledge, may amass a great amount of facts and not have wisdom and not have understanding. Now, the Word of God tells us in Proverbs chapter 2 and verse 6 that the Lord giveth wisdom. And in verse 13 of chapter 3, "Happy is the man that findeth wisdom, and the man that getteth understanding." Now, we've already considered in verses 1 to 10 wisdom's wholehearted devotion, which is the way to peace, the way to success, the way to guidance, the way to health, and the way to prosperity. And then verses 11 and 12, wisdom's salutary chastening, the means to holiness, the means to devotion, the means to submission, and the means to assurance. And in connection with that, of course, the writer of Proverbs says to his son, "Despise not the chastening of the Lord." So God puts us under his discipline, and so we're to count it all joy when we fall into diverse trials or testings, when we are put to the test, knowing that the trying or the testing of our faith will work patience. But we're to let patience have her perfect work, that we may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. Now, we'll need wisdom to do so, and this is why verse 13 follows verse 12 in Proverbs 3, where it says, "Whom the Lord loveth, he correcteth, even as the father the son, whom he delighteth. Happy is the man that getteth wisdom." Now, if any lack wisdom to be able to face the testings and the trials of life, as well as the temptations that he confronts, as he's under the discipline of God, what is he to do? "Ask of God that giveth to all men liberally, and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him." And then down in verse 12 of James chapter 1, that great statement of blessing, "Blessed is the man that endureth temptation, or trial, or testing. For when he is tried," now this is another Greek word, "when he's put to the test and approved, he shall receive the crown of life which the Lord hath promised to them that love him." Now, in considering wisdom's enviable heritage in our last study, I called your attention to the fact that wisdom is incomparable. Her merchandise is incomparable. Her profit or gain is incomparable. Her preciousness or value is incomparable. And her appeal or charm is incomparable. Now in verses 16 to 18, we have another evidence of the enviable heritage of wisdom. That is, wisdom is satisfying. You know, dear friends, there's so much in this world that is not satisfying. And it seems that the more of the world's goods a man collects, the more he desires. It just seems that we can never be satisfied with anything that is designed to meet us in our material needs. But wisdom is satisfying. For example, in verse 16, her overtures are satisfying. Length of days are in her right hand, and in her left hand riches and honor. And so, speaking about the right hand and the left hand, it simply speaks of the hands that are extended in overtures, in that which is offered to someone. All right? Wisdom offers to a person a length of days, a long life. You remember the word of God in the commandment, honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. And when the Apostle Paul deals with this same command in the book of Ephesians, he says, and not only, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for it is right. Honor thy father and thy mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, and thou mightest live long upon the earth. So, you see, long life has to do with our own existence, and then it is a moral matter, and probably a spiritual matter. So, in the right hand of wisdom is offered length of days. And then in the left hand, riches and honor. These are material. One has to do with material possessions. Riches, wealth. True wealth is offered by wisdom. Honor has to do with position. And certainly in the left hand of wisdom, there is offered unto men both riches, that is, wealth of possessions, and honor, that is, high position in the presence of others. So, her overtures are satisfying. Long life, riches, wealth, honor, position. In the second place, her guidance is satisfying. Verse 17, her ways are the ways of pleasantness, and her paths are peace. You know, there's a wonderful thing about wisdom that God offers to men who are truly in search for her. That is, that she will lead us in the pathway of pleasantness. And her pathway is the pathway of peace. I often think of that great verse in Psalms, Psalm 16:11. It's one of my favorite, which says, thou wilt show me the path of life. In thy presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore. Pleasantness, true pleasures, not the pleasures that the world offers, not the pleasures that come by satisfying self, not the pleasures that come from seeking it in this world system below. For these pleasures always are tainted with sorrow. But the pleasures and the blessings that the Lord gives for those who seek out wisdom are pleasures that have no sorrow with them. And so the pathway of wisdom is the pathway of pleasantness, of true pleasure, but also the pathway of peace. And many are seeking for peace in this old war-stricken world, a world of hatred and envy and strife and division. And peace seems to be elusive. And, of course, it will be, as far as the world is concerned, until the Prince of Peace comes and takes the reins of human government and rules with a rod of iron. But individuals, even in a world of turmoil and strife, can enjoy walking in the pathway of peace if that person will come to know true wisdom, which is found in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. So her guidance is satisfying. In verse 18a, her harvest or her yield is satisfying. She is a tree of life to them that lay hold upon her. A tree of life. A tree that produces life. A tree that yields true abundance of life. You remember the Lord Jesus Christ said that the thief cometh not but for to kill and to steal and to destroy. But I am come, said the Lord Jesus, that they may have life, and they may have it abundantly. That is, they may have it in abundance. The Lord Jesus didn't come to give us simply a life that ekes out in miserable existence, but true abundant life. And the Word of God further says, that's in Proverbs 11:30 also, where it says, the fruit of the righteous is the tree of life. And so just as righteousness produces fruit in a tree of abundant life, so does wisdom provide a tree of life to them that lay hold upon her. And then she's not only satisfying in her harvest or in her yield, but wisdom is satisfying in her endurance. And happy is everyone that retaineth her, that is, lays hold upon her and does not turn her loose. That person is to be envied. That person is supremely happy. That person is spiritually prosperous. That person is blessed indeed with the manifold blessings of God, the one who lays hold upon wisdom and does not turn wisdom loose. Now again, let me call your attention to the fact that in the book of Proverbs, wisdom is personified. Wisdom in Proverbs is to be found in the person of the second person of the Holy Trinity, whom we know as the Lord Jesus Christ, God who was manifest in the flesh. The New Testament speaks of him as the Word of God, God's expression and revelation to men. The New Testament also speaks of him as the wisdom of God. As a matter of fact, the New Testament says that in him are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. And so it is that happy is the man that findeth wisdom, that finds Jesus Christ as his Savior, and not only as his Savior, but his Shepherd, and as his friend. And when he comes to know him intimately, he knows something of the intimacy of the wisdom of Almighty God. And so God gives wisdom to that person when he finds Jesus Christ. And my friend, if you've never come to know him as your own Savior from sin, why not today just lift up your sin-burdened heart and repentance towards God and in faith toward Jesus Christ and receive him, and then God will supply that wisdom which will stand you in good stead both now and eternally.
You've been listening to another lesson in our continuing studies from the book of Proverbs on the Bible Institute of the Air. Today's study was by Mr. Jesse Boyd, who served as a member of the Bible faculty of Bob Jones University. We trust that the timeless truths taught in these studies, recorded by Mr. Boyd during his earthly ministry, will help you in your daily walk with the Lord. Join us again next time for more helpful studies on the Bible Institute of the Air. This program is a production of Bob Jones University in Greenville, South Carolina.